your attention to the first chapter of the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1. And the topic, Ezekiel's wheels and the chariot throne of God. Ezekiel chapter 1, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. Now it came about in the 30th year of the fifth day of the fourth month, when I was by the river Kibar among the exiles, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth of the month, in the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's exile, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kibar. There the hand of the Lord came upon him. And as I looked, behold, a storm wind was coming from the north, a great cloud with fire flashing forth continually, and a bright light around it, and in its midst something like glowing metal in the midst of the fire. And within it there were figures resembling four living beings, and this was their appearance. They had human form. Each of them had four faces and four wings, and their legs were straight, and their feet were like calves' hoof, and they gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, were human hands. As for the faces and wings of the four of them, their wings touched one another. Their faces did not turn when they moved. Each went straight forward. As for the form of their faces, each had the face of a man. All four had the face of a lion on the right and the face of a bull on the left. And all four had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. Their wings were spread out above. Each had two touching another being and two covering their bodies. And each went straight forward. Wherever the Spirit was about to go, they would go without turning as they went. In the midst of the living beings, there was something that looked like burning coals of fire, like torches darting back and forth among the living beings. Fire was bright, and lightning was flashing from the fire. And the living beings ran to and fro like bolts of lightning. Now as I looked at the living beings, behold, there was one wheel on the earth beside the living beings for each of the four of them. The appearance of the wheels and their workmanship was like sparkling beryl, and all four of them had the same form, their appearance and workmanship being as if one wheel were within another. Whenever they moved in any of their four directions without turning as they moved. And as for their rims, they were lofty and awesome, and the rims of all four of them were full of eyes round about. And whenever the living beings moved, the wheels moved with them. And whenever the living beings rose from the earth, the wheels rose also. Wherever the Spirit was about to go, they would go in that direction. And the wheels rose close beside them, for the Spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. Whenever those went, these went. And whenever those stood still, these stood still. And whenever those rose from the earth, the wheels rose close beside them, for the Spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. Now over the heads of the living beings, there was something like an expanse, like the awesome gleam of crystal extended over their heads. And under the expanse, their wings were stretched out straight, one toward the other. Each one also had two wings covering their bodies on the one side and on the other. I also heard the sound of their wings, like the sound of abundant waters as they went, like the voice of the Almighty, a sound of tumult, like the sound of an army camp. Whenever they stood still, they dropped their wings. And there came a voice from above the expanse that was over their heads, Whenever they stood still, they dropped their wings. Now above the expanse that was over their heads, there was something resembling a throne like lapis lazuli in appearance. And on that which resembled a throne high up was a figure with the appearance of a man. Then I noticed from the appearance of his loins and upward something like glowing metal that looked like fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his loins and downward, I saw something like fire, and there was a radiance around him. As the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face. Ezekiel saw them wheels a-turning way up in the middle of the air. So the Negro spiritual captures Ezekiel's vision. But if you look on the internet, you will find that all of the sites attached to Ezekiel 1, or most of the sites attached to Ezekiel 1, will say that the wheels, them wheels a-turning up there in the middle of the air that Ezekiel saw, were flying saucers, UFOs, aliens. One of the reasons to be careful what you look at on the internet. Now, if you notice, Ezekiel tells us in the first verse of this chapter that he was not looking at flying saucers or UFOs, despite that museum near the campus of the University of Washington dedicated to the paranormal. What Ezekiel tells you in that first verse is that he saw a vision of heaven. No, Ezekiel is not looking at any natural phenomena, paranormal or otherwise. Ezekiel is looking into heaven. And he is seeing a supernatural vision. It is not the world of nature. It is the world above and beyond nature that he is seeing. And so if you have difficulty with this first chapter, perhaps one of your difficulties is you can't get out of the natural. One of your difficulties may be that you don't believe in the supernatural. One of your difficulties may be that you don't believe there is anything other than what you can see, hear, touch, and feel. Maybe that's one of your difficulties. You have difficulty with Ezekiel's vision. Yes, you live in a generation very much attached to the earth and the world, very much attached to what you can see and feel and touch. You live in a generation where you are all from Missouri. I believe it when I see it. The Bible is telling you about something that is more real than anything you can see. But it is true. You must believe it. So Ezekiel's vision is a vision of what is beyond this world. It is a vision of God's very own heavenly throne room. It is a vision of the beings that surround that throne room, even now as we sit here. Ezekiel chapter 1 is a description of what is going on in that supernatural arena. And you will notice, if you paid attention when I read the text, you will notice that it is not a static arena. It is an arena busy with action. Even as the beings of that arena are busy with action, They're not sitting on clouds playing harps. In spite of the cartoons that you may have seen to the contrary, you would not draw such a cartoon from the imagery of this chapter. Every element in this vision, from the creatures who are alive to the crystal canopy to the sapphire or lapis lazuli throne to the wheels within the wheels, every part of this vision is a vision of heaven. Ezekiel saw them wheels a-turning in the majestic, glorious regions of heaven. Now you may ask yourself, since the supernatural world is beyond our natural ken, since the supernatural world is a world which we do not know firsthand, we must know it by revelation, God must tell us about it, since the supernatural world is different from our world, how can anybody talk about the supernatural world in human language? Well, do you remember what Paul said when he was caught up to the third heaven? And he could not even utter what he had seen? Was Paul struck dumb with the vision? No! Paul wasn't struck dumb with the vision. He knew that having been brought into heaven itself, having been caught up into the third heaven, there was no human language that could communicate heaven. Nothing he could say could talk about the exact reality of heaven. Well, then, Dennison, what are you going to talk to us this morning about this vision of heaven? Because Ezekiel tells you about it, and he tells you about it in analogical language. That's how you will talk about heaven. You will talk about heaven with analogies. Heaven is like, heaven resembles, heaven has the appearance of, and that's what's going on in this first chapter. The language of analogy is the language of an attempt at equivalence, but it does not exhaust the reality. Heaven is so much more glorious than even what you are reading here, even as hell is so much more terrible than anything you can imagine. Oh, you remember Jonathan Edwards' sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And you say, Jonathan Edwards, you painted the terrors of hell probably more grippingly than anybody else in the whole history of the church. And Jonathan Edwards, standing in front of Almighty God, will hear Almighty God say to Jonathan Edwards, "You weren't even close, Jonathan. You weren't even close to the terrors of hell in their reality. All you could use was analogy." And so by parallel reasoning, eye hath not seen, nor hath entered into the heart of man the glory that heaven is in its reality. For if all we can do is use analogy, the reality far surpasses. Hearts racing a little bit with the thought that what Ezekiel has told you is even more wonderful. Yes, more wonderful. Well, what does Ezekiel tell us? Let's begin with verse 4. First thing that Ezekiel describes is the storm cloud with fire and lightning flashing from it. And that is an image, that's an analogy that you can conjure up very easily for all of you have watched thunderheads. You have watched them roll across fields or hills, and you have watched the bolts of jagged lightning dash out of them as they ground themselves to the earth, so that the image of this lightning storm in Ezekiel 1:4 does not leave you without an analogous picture. You can imagine what that is like. The heavenly storm cloud, a glory cloud. A glory cloud which suggests the glory presence. Verse 4 is a description of the glorious presence of God. For it is God who dwells in heavenly glory, as indeed he mediates that glory to his people. For he is not only the God high and lifted up, he is the God who has bent down to his people to be their God. And he has displayed his glory presence to his people throughout the history of redemption in terms of glory clouds. So that what Ezekiel is seeing here in chapter 1 is in itself a resemblance to what God has displayed in history at Mount Sinai when his glory cloud presence came down upon that smoking mountain. That cloud is like the cloud that rested over the tabernacle in the wilderness. And you remember what was in that tabernacle? It was the Ark of the Covenant with the cherubim. And the cherubim woven into the veil of the temple. The cherubim, who are the heavenly guardians of the throne room of God, represented underneath the glory cloud resting upon the tabernacle. And when Solomon dedicated the temple, when Solomon dedicated the stone version of the tabernacle, you remember that the glory cloud of God's presence came down upon that building. Cloud of God's glory presence, not only high and lifted up in Ezekiel's vision, but condescended and revealed in the presence of his children. So the cloud veils God's glory. The appearance of the cloud draws the attention of the prophet to that glory. But that glory has been revealed to men and women in history. Now, the second thing you will notice is that this cloud has a bright light around it. This glory cloud has a rainbow of brilliant white light encircling it. And in the midst of that rainbow of light, in the center of that cloud, a globe. A radiance glowing like metal in fire. Now, I know there aren't too many blacksmiths in this room, but some of you have seen metal in a fire, whether in an annealing furnace, whether just a nail in a campfire. You have seen what metal in a fire looks like, and you know that that metal seems to burn brighter than the surrounding coals, that the metal looks as if it is hotter than the flames. And so in Ezekiel's vision here, the center of heaven contains one who glows more brightly than all around him, because he is the center of the picture. He is the center of of heaven. This is a marvelous vision. This is a grandiose vision of God's heavenly throne. He who dwells in unapproachable light, who shines more brightly than all the host of heaven. He unveils himself to Ezekiel and through Ezekiel to us. And he draws near to his servant Ezekiel and draws near to us as his servants. The majesty and the condescension of God. The exaltation and the humiliation of God. The transcendence and the immanence of God is all here. This glory, his glory, his heavenly glory, he has chosen to show you. With Ezekiel then, let us behold the wonders of heaven which God has revealed to us in the prophet's vision. And let us never forget how our hearts beat a little more quickly as we realized how wonderful this was. Now the next thing Ezekiel describes are the living beings, verse 5. They are called cherubim in the parallel description of this vision in Ezekiel chapter 10. Yes, Scripture interprets Scripture. Ezekiel 10 interprets Ezekiel 1. There are four living beings. Why are there four? Probably to represent the four corners of the earth. These creatures which bear up the throne of God manifest the power and glory of God at the four points of the compass. In other words, God's glory extends to the four corners of the globe. It is a glory which embraces the world. No, it is not restricted just to Jerusalem, from which Ezekiel had been captured. It is not a glory which is reserved only for Judah, which had gone away into captivity. It is not just for the people who live on Whidbey Island. It is a glory which extends to all the world, embracing the whole earth. Four faces and the four wings suggest the very same idea. The four faces on each creature mean they face all directions at once. No part of the world escapes their gaze at any one time. The four wings indicate that they are mobile. And again, they move abroad over the face of the earth in all four directions, north, south, east and west. And to the four creatures with the four faces and four wings, add the wheels in verse 15 and 16. You will notice once more that there are four wheels for each creature, one for each of the four. According to verse 16, there are even wheels within the wheels. Now, in order to picture that image, two wheels, wheels within wheels, you have to imagine wheels at right angles. You have to imagine a wheel in the plane of the aisle of this sanctuary, and then you have to imagine a wheel at right angles to that plane. Wheels within wheels. Why? Again, to express the idea that the wheels move all directions without turning. You can imagine if there were such a wheel, wheel within wheel, that was at right angles to itself, that it would be able to move backwards and forwards and left and right at will. image is the image of the wheels, which are emblematic of the movement of the creatures through the world. Wherever the wheels move, God is glorious Lord and King. To sum up then the meaning of the imagery in verses 4 to 21, the living creatures, four faces, the four wings, the four wheels, and wheels within wheels. All of this is intended to display to Ezekiel the worldwide sovereignty and the worldwide glory of God. These creatures bear the throne of God to all the world in vivid, awesome, unusual portraits. We are shown the glorious reality that God rules over all. Now, verse 22. Verse 22 describes the platform or the dome below which, underneath which are the four creatures, and above which or upon which God himself is enthroned. So you have the picture. There is a dome, like an expanse, like the firmament of the heavens. There is a dome, and above that dome is God himself. And below that dome are the four creatures. You will notice that the two wings of each creature touch one another, verses 9 and 11, so that the four creatures are envisioned at the four corners of this crystal-like platform dome, and their wings are touching one another from the four corners because they are holding up that throne. They are supporting that dome. That dome rests upon their wings as they move. Above that dome platform, the appearance of a throne radiant like sapphire or lapis lazuli. And on that throne, above that dome, the appearance of a figure like a man. Ezekiel does not say that the form was a man. Says that the form had the appearance of a man. The throne, radiant with light, glowing, lustrous, resplendent light, arching the throne, a rainbow of color, verse 28, the second rainbow we've seen in this portrait. Now, putting the whole vision together, the brilliant sapphire throne of God astride a crystal dome, borne on angels' wings, moving whithersoever it will over the face of the universe, and circled by a rainbow of bright, shining light, from the seat of which shines forth the effulgence, the brilliance, the radiance of God himself. If that is not more beautiful than the sunrise this morning, I cannot describe beauty. God in his glory. More beauteous, more lovely, more majestic, more wondrous than anything your eye has ever seen. What a privilege. Privilege for God
permit Ezekiel to look into heaven. And what a privilege for you to read about it.
For God to condescend to permit a sinful man like Ezekiel to see his glory. What a wonderful, wonderful privilege. But how much more wonderful would it not be? Much more wonderful if that glory itself came down from heaven and was revealed in history. To behold the glory of the Lord, not in clouds and pillars hovering over tabernacles and temples or smoking mountains, but to behold the glory of the Lord revealed in the flesh. John 1:14. And we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Jesus is the revelation of the glory of God. In Christ, you have the most wonderful. You have the loveliest. You have the most beautiful display of the glory of the Lord in the face of his Son. In the face of his Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Who reveals to us the radiance, the loveliness, the brightness of the heavenly realm? The Lord Jesus Christ, who came preaching the kingdom of heaven. Who displays the world-embracing sovereignty of the all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful God? The Lord Jesus Christ, who has been declared King of kings and Lord of lords. Who is enthroned as the King and bringer of the glorious kingdom of God? The Lord Jesus Christ, who at the right hand of his Father in glory sits as the all-glorious, all-sovereign Lord. Who is the presence of God with his people? The tabernacle presence, the Emmanuel presence, the God with us presence. Who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. And who is the one who dwells above the crystal sea, around whose throne circles a rainbow, a throne like emerald and sapphire? It is the Lion out of the tribe of Judah. It is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It is the one before whom the four living creatures fall on their faces and say, "Worthy art thou who wast slain, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto thee forever and ever. Amen." Do you see what the real servants of God do in his presence? Do you see it? Do you do it? Oh, by God's grace, you will do it.
for he will show you his glory, you who seek his face, and he will do even more. He will bring you into that glory, you who seek his face. Even as he brought Ezekiel into his glory room, even as he brought his risen son into that glory throne room. The glory of God, which Ezekiel saw, has in these last days been revealed in the person of his son, who is the very image of his glory, so that we might behold the glory of the Lord full in his risen face, and that we might be changed from glory unto glory. Until that day when we shall see him as he is, enthroned in the glory of the heaven of heavens. What a blessing to behold the glory of the Lord. What a blessing to possess, the glory of the Lord. What a blessing to dwell now in Christ, in the glory of the Lord, and to anticipate already the glory which shall be revealed when the Son of Man will come on the clouds of his glory and all his holy angels with him, and will sit upon the throne of his glory forever and ever. Do you not want to be there too? Let us pray. Father, we could never know the realm of your glory unless you told us about it. The greatest canvas of the painter, the most eloquent verses of the poet, the most fabulous vistas of this world could never show us the surpassing excellence of the glory of heaven itself and your throne and your Son and all the host of angels in light. We bless you for your word, for the revelation to us of the glory of the Lord. But, O Lord, we bless you even more that you invite us into that glory, that you stand before us in all of your resplendent glory and say, come unto me, and I will give you the glory of heaven as a gift. May we not only learn of your glory, may we not only be enthralled by your glory. But dear God, may we love your glory, even as we love the Son of your glory, our Savior Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.